I listen and read a lot of sermons. I need preaching in my life, just like all of you do. And it's often the way that God directs me on what to preach. And I've told you before, sometimes I hear a sermon and I like it so much, I'll just preach the whole sermon. I mean, I'll put my own illustrations in it and make points a little bit different ways, but I'll just preach the whole sermon. Sometimes just the outline, the points, the three points. I may say something different than I read or I hear, but I'll use the same outline. Sometimes there's just one little line in a sermon that will catch my attention and the Lord will use to say, hey, here's what I want you to preach on. Sometimes it's a title, and such is the case today. I read a sermon not too long ago that has the same title as my sermon does this morning, Things Which Cannot Be Shaken. And I'm going to preach on that subject this morning, and the sermon is completely different than the one I read, but I'm going to use the same title. And we're going to use those verses in Hebrews chapter 12 that Adam read just a moment ago to get started. And here's what the writer of Hebrews was saying. He's saying, you better listen to God as God speaks from heaven. And he does that through this book, and he did it through his men in the Old and New Testament. As God speaks from heaven, you better listen to him. Because you didn't listen to the men that spake on earth, and as a result, you paid the price. You didn't escape from God's judgment because you didn't listen to the men that spake on earth. And how can you expect to escape the judgment of God if you ignore God himself? In verse 26, the writer of Hebrews quotes from Haggai 2, where God promises in the Old Testament that he's not only going to shake the earth, but shake heaven. And what God said in verse 27, he says, look, I'm going to shake earth and I'm going to shake heaven. And the things that are made by man are going to shake. But the things that are made by God are not going to be shaken at all. And I'm going to shake the earth and I'm going to shake heaven so that you can tell the difference. I'm going to shake earth and I'm going to shake heaven so that you can identify the things that will not shake and build your life on those things. Now, I'll just tell you a little bit about the sermon I read. The sermon I read talked about the things that could not be shaken. And the preacher said, God cannot be shaken. Doesn't matter what man does. God's not surprised. Doesn't matter what happens. God is not shaken. He will not move. He will stand firm right where he is. Yeah, he said, salvation can't be shaken. I'm so glad that I believe in eternal security. I'm so glad that I believe in once saved, always saved. I believe it because that's what the Bible teaches. You can't tell me that God can promise us everlasting life and we do something to lose it. Because I tell you what, folks, if eternal life depended on me keeping it, mine would have been gone a long time ago and so would have yours. I'm glad we got a salvation that we don't have to keep ourselves, but we got a God that keeps it for us. That we got a God that never changes his mind about what it costs sin. And when Jesus paid it and he said it is finished, in God's mind it's finished forever, for all eternity. So salvation can't be shaken. Then he finished up by saying the Bible cannot be shaken. This book will not change. I mean, man's trying to change it. We'll change a word here and a word there. We'll take some words out. We'll take some concepts out. But I'm glad that we have a book preserved by God, written by God, word for word, that will not change, that we can depend on for all eternity. And I tell you what, when we get to heaven, the Bible that we use in heaven will not be some of these new translations. The Bible that we use in heaven will not be those that have been copyrighted so people can make money on them. The Bible that we use in heaven will be the Word of God. Now, this morning, I want to go in a different direction. Although those are good points, wonderful points. I want this morning to use things that cannot be shaken to preach a Father's Day message to you. And here's my point. I'll just make one point this morning. Thank God for fathers that cannot be shaken. If you had a dad that could not be shaken, I want you to praise God for him this morning. If you had a dad that, regardless of what happened as you were growing up, regardless of what circumstances came into you or your family's life, and you had a dad that stood firm, you thank God for a dad like that. I praise God for my dad. When I was growing up, I mean, I could just relate to you so many things. When I was growing up, my mom and dad didn't have a lot of money. My dad worked two jobs. My mom worked. We didn't have a lot of money. I'm so glad I was the firstborn. I got all the new clothes, and then they were passed down and passed down. And we did have enough money that we didn't bathe in a tub and had to share water. We had enough to do that. But I can remember, and my mom and dad didn't talk about it out in the open much, but just overhearing some conversations where I could just tell my mom was real worried about how they were going to make it. I mean, you know, I had two brothers, and I can remember when we were growing up, we'd go down to this place where we'd buy milk, and we'd buy 6 gallons at a time. We'd go every other day. I mean, to feed 3 boys, and we were all teenagers at the same time. You know, we were bottomless pits. And I can remember my mom and dad talking, and I could just overhear them a little bit, where mom was expressing some concern about how they were going to make it. And I can remember my dad saying time after time after time, "Don't worry, we're going to make it. We're going to make it." I can remember when my brother broke something. I shared with you last Sunday night, my brother was always breaking a bone. His arm, his foot, his ankle. I mean, he broke just about everything that he had. And I can remember my dad would be the one that would take him to the doctor and take him to the hospital and tell him, "It will be okay." I can remember the first time I experienced death of somebody that was close to me. I was in the 9th grade, and my grandfather was killed in a car accident. And I can remember, he was my buddy. We would watch baseball together. I'd go to work with him. He'd work afternoons, and I'd just go in at 3 o'clock and spend till midnight with him. We'd do the dishes together. See, Grandpa had this neat system figured out. He had two daughters and two daughter-in-laws, and you know, we'd all get together, all 4 or 5 families get together every other Sunday to eat. And Grandpa would be the first one up from the table, and I'd go with him, and we'd start the dishes. But we'd only have to do them about 4 minutes because his daughters and daughter-in-laws would feel sorry for him, and they would come and take over. And so we'd get them started, and they would take over, and we wouldn't have to do them very, very long. But I can remember the morning that my dad woke us up and said, "Hey, your grandfather was killed in a car accident last week." And it broke my heart. And I can remember my dad the few days after that saying, "Now look, I know you feel like the bottom's dropped out. I know that I feel like you lost your best friend." But and by the way, I don't know if my grandfather was saved or not, so he could not comfort me by saying that my grandfather went to heaven. But he said, "Look, you'll get better. You'll get better. You remember him. You keep the sweet memories. But you can't bring him back by mourning for him. It'll be all right." I can remember we went to California on vacation. All 5 of us piled in a little car my dad had. We got out west somewhere, and we went to this park, and my mom went to the bathroom in an outhouse, and a bear came. And so the three boys and my dad were sitting in the car. My little brother, he would cry at anything. And, of course, Tim and I would just said, "David, mom's done. That bear is going to eat her." And he was just sitting in the car weeping and weeping. He was a guy that we every time we heard a siren, we said, "They're coming to get you, David." And he would get down in the seat of the car and start crying. So we were sitting there, and that bear was rummaging around the outhouse, and he was just weeping. My dad would say, "Everything's going to be all right, David. Don't listen to your two older brothers. Everything's going to be okay." And I'll tell you what, the only time I saw my dad cry was when my grandmother died and went to heaven. He was swayed for a little bit, but he wasn't shaken. He wasn't shaken. And you know what? We need some dads like that today. We need some dads that when the bottom falls out of life, they will stand and not be shaken. We need some dads that when financial reverses come, that they won't get worried, that they'll stand and not be shaken. We need some dads when kids misbehave and turn away from what you've tried to teach them, that they'll stand and not be shaken. We need some dads that when the world changes and said, hey, what you thought was wrong is no longer wrong, it's right. When the world says that, we need some dads that will stand and say, no, what's wrong, what's always been wrong is wrong, and what's always been right is right, and we're not going to move just because the world has moved. They remain unshaken. The ups and downs in life, the mountains and valleys of life, the heartaches of life, they need to be unshaken. Now, so this morning, I'm going to tell you how to be unshaken. My message is mostly to dads, but I'll tell you what, it applies to every single person here today. Because people that look at Christians want to see us unshaken. And the greatest testimony that you can have as a Christian is to be able to go through life, and regardless of what life dishes out to you, you can stand and not be shaken. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your testimony will be a whole lot more effective if you can go through life and people can see you in the midst of trials and in the midst of heartaches, unshaken. And by the way, I don't mean that you don't weep. There are things that happen in our life that are going to cause us to weep, but you don't get shook and you don't move from where God's planted you, and you stand. And that's what the world is looking for. Because when an unsaved person sees a Christian that's unshaken and can stand, that person sooner or later will say about that Christian, or will say to that Christian, I don't know what you got, but it sure impacts your life. Could you tell me what it is? Could you tell me what you got your life built on that allows you to go through these trials? Yeah, you weep. Yeah, you cry, but you're not shaken. You don't move. Can you tell me what you have? Now, this morning, I'm going to tell you what those that are not shaken have. I'm going to tell you how you can live your life being unshaken. Three quick points. Number one, place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. You want to know how to live your life unshaken? Then you find that one whose hand was scarred by the nails to the cross of Calvary, and you place your hand in his hand. You get saved, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have a relationship with God. You cannot go through the trials of this life and remain unshaken without a relationship that you know that you have with your Heavenly Father. Now, I know there may be people sitting here this morning that are not saved. And you may say, and I was talking to somebody like this on Friday, hey, I'm a tough guy. I don't care what life dishes out to me. I can handle it. There's nothing that can throw me off course. And I know him a little bit. He works down in Cincinnati, and I was down there on Friday. And I said, his name is John. I said, John, how old is your little girl? And he said, oh, well, she'll turn 5 in a couple of weeks. 4 years old little girl. Do you love her? Oh, he said, I love her. I said, what if she got leukemia? What if she got something that you couldn't control? What if you got something that daddy couldn't fix? I've been talking to him for about 2 months now about his need for Jesus. You say, Brother Darrell, don't you think that's unkind to talk about his daughter getting sick? Maybe. Maybe. And I didn't get him on Friday. He came this close to receiving Christ as his Savior. But there are people, there may be people in this room. Hey, I'm tough. I can handle anything that God throws my way. Well, when your heaven and earth shakes, when God takes a hold of your world and shakes it so that you can see what's man-made and what's God's made, I'll tell you what, your toughness and your hardness and your thought ability to handle anything that God throws your way will dissipate in moments. Because I tell you what, God knows you well enough to find something in your world that he can shake to get your attention. There's something, and I don't know what it is. It's different for every single person here this morning. But God knows you well enough to find something in your world to shake it, so to get your attention, to make you realize that you need a relationship with him. And that relationship can come only by Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, the Bible says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus Christ did not go to the cross to pay for any sin that he committed. He did not commit a sin. He did not have an evil thought. He never did one thing that you could put in the category of sin. Not one thing. And yet he went to the cross laden with sin to die for that sin. Not his, but mine and yours. And when they drove those nails through his hands, when they drove those nails through his feet, and he hung there, and the sky turned black, and God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son, and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God forsook his Son for you and for me. Because Jesus paid the price for all of our sin. And you will never have never come to the point in your life where you will not be shaken until you come to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the only way to get it is to come to Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That song that we sing goes like this: "Have you failed in the plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand." And I'll tell you this morning that Jesus Christ has his nail-scarred hand extended to every single person in this room this morning. And if you've never received Jesus Christ, you need to put your hand in that hand saying, "Jesus, I trust you. I'm depending on you for what you did for me on Calvary and nothing else to take away my sin and to make me right with God my Father." And if you want to be the right kind of dad, a dad that will not be shaken regardless of what comes into your life or the life of your family, you need to have that relationship with God. And the only way you can get it is through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, you want to be unshaken? Stand on the solid rock. In Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, here's what Jesus said: "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You want to be unshaken, Christian? You want to be unshaken, Dad? then build your house, your life, on the solid rock, on Jesus Christ and His sayings. And you might say, hey, preacher, I never walked the earth when Jesus was there. I never heard Him talk. I never heard His sayings. I never heard Him teach. I never heard Him preach. I know, neither did I. But praise God, He gave us this book. This book, listen to me, this book is the sayings of Jesus Christ. This, I mentioned it in Sunday school. This book tells us what God wants us to know. This book contains the words of Jesus Christ. This book is the word of Jesus Christ. Not only does it contain the words of Jesus Christ, it is the word of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus was saying to that crowd that day gathered on the mountain, He'll say the same thing to us. He says, the man or the woman that hears My words, My sayings, and goes out and does them, builds their life on the words in this book, on the principles in this book, on the teachings of this book. I'll tell you who He's like. He's like a man that went out to build a house, and he found a good, strong rock to use as a foundation, and he drove his house into that foundation, and when the storms, the rains came and beat up on the house, it stood. It stood. Terry, I was thinking about this last night when we were thinking about the beams. You know that beam that you took from back there, I gave you? It's one of these roof beams. That's what that thing was. I was thinking about that last night. You know, there'd be a lot of rain that can fall on this place and it will stand. And that's what Jesus was saying. He says, build your life on the rock. Build your life on the words in My book. Build your life on My principles. And when the storms of life come, I guarantee you that you'll stand. But He says, those people that ignore My sayings, those people that ignore My book, are like those people that go out and find a nice sandy spot by the beach. And they build their house on that sand without any firm foundation. And the first time it rains really hard, or the first time the wind really blows hard, that house falls. We sing that little song, and we say, the house on the sand went splat. And that's what happens to somebody that tries to build their life on a shaky foundation, and anything that this world has to offer is a shaky foundation. Anything this world has to offer is compared to that book is a shaky foundation. And I guarantee you, when the winds of life howl and when the storms of life come, your house is going to fall. And just like that verse says, great will be the fall of it. So you want to know how to be unshaken? You want to know how to be the kind of dad you ought to be? You want to know how to be the kind of Christian you ought to be? Number one, put your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Number two, build your life on the solid rock. We sing that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Point number three. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Stand on the solid rock. Number three, lean on the everlasting arms. I mentioned in my introduction, the only time I saw my dad cry was when his mom, my grandmother, went to heaven. I can remember just like it was yesterday. I was in my freshman year of college, going to college up here in Flint. And I had gone home because my grandmother was really sick. And we had gone to church and we had gone to the hospital after the morning service. And my dad, and he brought me back home so I could get my car and drive back up here. And right when we pulled into the driveway, one of his good friends from church came out of the house where he was and told my dad that his mom had went to heaven. And I can remember him falling into his friend's arms and just weeping on his shoulder for a couple of minutes. And there was a difference in my dad's life after that day. He and his mom were really close. And I think after that day, I think my dad would tell you this. We've talked about it. After that day, he leaned on Jesus more than he did before that day. Some people tell you, well, if you get saved and you try to live your life based on the Bible, nothing bad is going to come into your life. You're going to be able to live on the mountaintop. Everything's going to go good. And I will tell you that that's not in the Bible anywhere. That's not in the Bible. There are storms that are going to come into your life. You say, into a Christian's life? Yeah. Into somebody that's trying to live their life pleasing to God? Yeah. There are storms that are going to come into your life. Loved ones will die. Grandparents, parents, brothers, sisters, children. Sickness will come. Cancer, multiple sclerosis, leukemia. It'll come. Relationships will break. Friendships will be dissolved. Children will leave what you've tried to teach them and turn away from you and turn away from God. Divorces will break up marriages. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you, hey, when you get saved and you try to live your life based on this book, that God makes everything peaches and cream. But it doesn't work that way. The storms of life still come. And I know some of you may be sitting out there and say, well, preacher, why would God allow that? Why would he allow, I mean, if I've gotten saved, if I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm trying to live my life based on this book, why would God allow something bad to come into my life? Because God loves you. And he wants you to lean on him. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. What that verse says is the more you lean and depend on God, the more you please him. And so he sends storms into our life so that we will learn to lean on him. I shared with the folks that were here Wednesday night, my boss's sister was real sick and she passed away. I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember. And I wrote him a little note. And Aubrey's one of these guys, he's a tough guy. He's been here before, some of you have seen him. He's a bodybuilder and he's strong and he's disciplined mentally, he's tough mentally. He gives the impression that he could handle anything. And I wrote a little note to him. I said, Aubrey, God's put you in this situation. And I think I told you Wednesday night, he had to make the decision to take his sister off the life support because there was no hope that she'd survive. And I wrote a note to him. I said, Aubrey, God's put you in this situation so that you'll lean on him, so that you'll learn to lean on him. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. In Psalm 89, verse 21, the Bible tells us that his arms are everlasting and that we find our strength to go through the storms of life by leaning on him. And that song that we sing shares that truth. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. If you got a dad that couldn't or can't be shaken, then you praise God for him. And you know, we all need to praise God for a God that can't be shaken. In James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have a God that cannot be shaken. And I like that little song that we sing in Sunday school, in open assembly. We didn't sing it this morning, but we sing that little song. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. If you don't have a home in heaven this morning, you need one. And the only way to get it is to come through Jesus Christ. You say, hey, preacher, I didn't come planning to get saved this morning. Hey, that's all right. God planned on you getting saved this morning. He said, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better day to do it than Father's Day 2006. It's the best present that you could give to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to anybody that loves you. The best present that you could give them is to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for a simple message of the Bible. Thank you for the gospel. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that in the next few moments that they would just admit that they're a sinner.